Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are entering the third section of this topic that we've been discussing for quite some time now. I believe it's probably been over a year now that we've been talking about knowing God. And first we had talked about, in the process of knowing God, what was our part? And that was the recognition of the sovereignty of God, the act of waiting and hearing His voice. And then we've spent probably the bulk of our time looking at God's part and how important it is for Him that He considers the knowing of Him to be so important that it's the bedrock of our relationship with Him, and how much emphasis He places on it. The whole idea of relationship to Him is based on knowing Him personally, both us being genuine with Him and Him being who He is with us. When we think of His desire to reveal Himself to us the way He is, we run into a lot of challenges. We run into a lot of roadblocks. And those are some of the things we've been talking about most recently, the challenges to knowing and hearing from God. We're entering the third phase about the practical results of knowing God. And just as a recap, we want to be reminded that knowing God is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple because it's so important to God. He has made a clear way to know Him. Very often it's we ourselves that make it difficult. But then, of course, we have to identify what we mean by knowing God. So what we've been looking at is defining some of those basic relationship concepts and the practical applications so that we'll be encouraged to stick with the process until we experience personal results. God's ways of doing things in different areas are intertwined. You can't learn how to do one thing without also learning how to do other things. And this is part of our challenge. Just like in our own areas, we want to control how we know God. And God does things His way. For instance, if you want to be able to hear His voice, you're going to have to get healed. If you want to get healed, you're going to have to let the Lord deal with your flesh. If you want to deal with your flesh, you're going to have to learn how to hear Him. So there, it's that three aspects, and this is just our approach. Other people may have different approaches. The bottom line is, does it work? Does it work for you? Does what you're learning bring you into a greater, not just revelation, but relationship with God and of His ways, how much He loves you? Is it changing you? Is it working? Does it matter? So as we move forward, we try to be objective about what we're learning. Is it working? Is it bringing me into a greater relationship and a greater confidence in those three areas? So we looked at God's desire for a relationship with us on a personal level, and looked at practical ways that you and I, as believers, can develop an intimate relationship with our Father, Brother, and Counselor. His coming 2,000 years ago was to remove every obstacle, to be able to bring us into that relationship. And every movement, true movement, and revelation since then has led each of us to this day, your day today, our opportunity to know God better, more, deeper, on His terms and in His time. We've learned that our expectations, our beliefs, our doctrine, and even how we spend our time will all be challenged as we follow on to know Him as a goal. But as He reveals Himself, even just a little bit, makes us thirsty. And hearing His heartbeat, seeing Him face to face, now, in this lifetime, is worth every effort and struggle He challenges us with. So again, what is knowing God? Fundamentally, knowing God is being in an intimate relationship with Him in all aspects of our being, spirit, soul, and body. As believers, you and I already enjoy this relationship with God in our spirit, but in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and in our body, we are still in the process of getting to know Him as He is. Truth with a capital T. So, though we already possess all the eternal life we ever will, this great relationship has not yet been worked out from our spirit through our soul and body. To know God, we need an open mind, an open heart, and an open will. And interestingly enough, we also need a need. If we think we have all the answers, or are not open to having our beliefs challenged or changed, we have a closed door to God in that area, regardless of how hard He might be knocking. Is from God, what is true and truth will stand up to scrutiny, the cold light of day objectivity. He wants us to challenge and test what we think we know. Does what you believe work? Is it setting you free? Are you experiencing healing and greater dependence and relationship with God? Since none of us has all the truth, there must be room for learning and changing for everyone. What knowing God is not. It's not going to be necessarily measured by what we've been taught by others. Much of what we've been taught has just been passed along. We're taught what other people have been taught and may not have been even tested or tried on a practical level. Unfortunately, so many are coming out of religious institutions without an relationship with God at all, let alone an intimate relationship. I've worked in ministries in situations where the big thing at pastors' meetings is where a pastor comes to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they've been in the pastor, in ministry for decades and have large churches, and all of a sudden they meet Christ. So we can't rely on credentials or position to have that confidence that we're hearing truth. We have to have an ear to hear. And we have to develop that ear. And we want to know God on a personal and practical level. You can know all about a subject or a person and never have experienced that subject or truly known that person at all. Even when a person passes along their experiences, because you are unique, and God seeks a unique experience with you, sharing in another's relationship with God is no substitute for developing your own relationship. So when I share my experiences, my history, my examples, they're meant for encouragement and may not apply to you or your situation at all. And I'm fine with that. But be encouraged to know him for yourself, to hear him, to have that confidence that he is directing you and will direct you and guide you, and most of all, that he loves you. Now, a lot of us have a lot of unlearning of what love is. We have this a wrong notion of what the love of God is. And whatever your history is, be open to any revelation of what love is. We have this idea that very often, you know, that if God loves us, he will make things easier for us. And that often isn't the case. Because easy precludes us from having a need. We can look back at Adam and Eve in the garden. God was there constantly, and they had his presence, and they knew each other after the Spirit. Adam and Eve did. All their needs were already met. So they didn't need to know God more. They were already satisfied. So there was no growth, no more, no creativity until God created a need in our lives. In a variety of ways, God creates a need. And some of the things we're going to be talking about in this third part is under the practical results of knowing God is one of the big driving forces, not just for Christians, but for many, many people, is how to make a decision. Am I on the right track? Divine guidance. How do I know the will of God? And these are the two areas where we can expect to see practical and obvious results of learning to know God. God doesn't want you not knowing. Now, there's going to be times when you're going to ask him, God, which choice do I make? Which direction do I go in? And one of the big challenges that we have is to put aside the idea that God is going to answer all your questions. He's not. Because part of his purpose is for us to learn judgment. That's an aspect of your soul being connected and accepting eternal life from your spirit. Now, your spirit's got the life, the eternal life from God. So we're not talking about a separate thing. But your spirit being connected and filled and full already knows everything you need to know and already has all the eternal life. And as you are freed and healed and encouraged and drawn in your soul, and your soul becomes more able to receive what's in your spirit right now, one of the things that is developed is judgment. The scriptures talk about, know ye not that you shall judge angels. Well, there's no putting that off. We can start that now. And one of the things we have a tendency to do is think that judgment means criticizing or finding fault with. That the judgment means pointing out where others fall short. Part of that. Because what judgment means is evaluating. So you go in and you take a multiple choice test. And you hand it in. And your teacher goes through and marks the ones that are wrong and gives you credit for the things that are right. And balancing those out is how you get the grade. So we have a tendency to think of judgment as negative, honest. It's looking at things in reality. So when it's perfectly acceptable, we want to embrace the judgment of God because we want to know the areas that we're doing well and not just focus on the areas where we still have a ways to go. Because as we talked recently, God knows we need encouragement. God knows we all need confidence. We all want to be able to know that we're hearing from him. But there's going to be times when he's going to say, you choose. Either way is fine with me. And for some, that's going to be one of the hardest things they will ever face, because then they will be responsible. And the whole idea that is that so many of us have been taught is that there is a will of God, and it's narrow and it's hard. And if you are not in that straight and narrow, you are out of his will. When really, his will is to know him. And we know him more through our mistakes, through missing the mark, than we do through getting things right. He brings the good and the bad into our lives, the right hand and the left, to mold the clay. So good circumstances and bad, the knowledge of the good and evil on that tree. It takes both. Not to give us life, but to show us our need. He wants to be involved in our rejoicing just as much as showing us and guiding us through the process of change. So for most of us, the two big practical results of knowing God that we're looking for is divine guidance and ministry. How to know the will of God in those areas. And the more you know him and hear him and know how to get healed from him, by him. And we have great examples of how Jesus did that. What he learned from his father was how to go to him to be taught, to be encouraged, to be instructed. He was taught of the Father. And you and I can be taught of the Father. And the more we learn that, the more there's a level of simplicity that comes. And everything that's going on in our lives starts to fall into that simplicity. That doesn't nullify us from ordinary, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Things are going to happen to us just as part of circumstances. But our confidence comes by being objective about it, and instead of saying, well, we must be doing something wrong if something bad is happening to us, we can go, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Whenever we have a challenge, whenever we have a question, we go to him first. That's the first thing we learn in learning to know him. So we turn with whatever we have, we go to him first. So the two main areas where we will see practical and obvious results of learning to know God are divine guidance and ministry involvement. We're going to talk about the ministry involvement at length later, but it's probably not what you're thinking. Ministry is simply sharing with others unconditionally what you yourself have received unconditionally. But even if these, the way I framed them here, are not areas of particular interest to you right now, you can be rest assured that they are the main areas that you'll be tested in and proven by the Lord to reveal what he has done and is doing in your life. The more you depend on him for your need for guidance, to meet your needs, the more he will begin to interfere in your personal life and provoke your spiritual nature as a giver. In other words, regardless of your vocation, once you depend on him for life, that eternal life flows. And because God's nature is to give, he will express his nature through you. So one of the ways we know a dependent Christian is that they share what they have received freely. Now, I'm not talking about a monetary thing. I'm talking about graciously, without manipulation, with encouragement. That here, this is what I've learned. This is for you. And there is a generosity of just, you can tell when somebody knows God and has received from him unconditionally. It's made such a change in their life that they can't do anything but share what they have received. But mainly, many Christians, their main driving force is they want to be able to hear God so they know what to do. So they know what job to take, who to marry, how to, you know, which house to buy, help to make choices. And one of the big reasons is because they want to avoid pain. This goes back to the idea that in listening to God, if you make the right decision, there won't be any pain involved. And again, hopefully you'll have started to get the idea, and we'll talk about that. That's just not the case. Very often, the right decision will involve negative consequences. His goal was never to make life easy, but to share his life eternal. We can exploit our time here on this earth and embrace both the negative and the positive. Let it do its job in our lives. And that first job is to turn us to asking God, God, what's going on? Help, Lord, or thank you, Lord. And reinforcing that bond that made us co-inheritors and joint heirs even 2,000 years ago. So when we talk about divine guidance, we all know that, you know, there's so many people out there in so many ways who they just want to have a way of making decisions, of knowing the future, of planning or explaining the past. A big thing is, you know, people make mistakes in the past, or they wonder if they, for instance, married the wrong person or shouldn't have moved from this city to that city. And these are all fair questions. Our approach, though, is that it's a question that God wants to answer. And that answer will come because you have that question. The answer will very often not be fitting, will not be about the question. It will be the way he used to get your attention. So think about it now. Is there something in your life that you've always wondered, that you feel maybe is holding you back? Insist. Take that question to him, but don't insist on getting an answer to the question. He may answer it, but really what the issue is he wants to give you himself. One of my favorite stories is of Jean Guyon, who was living in her, I believe it was her hometown, and had a little house, but was known for tremendous healing. People would come into her presence and be healed physically. And so physicians were sending people to her that they could no longer help. And one woman was a friend took her. The physicians had, I think she had cancer, had given her up. There was nothing else they could do. And she was desperate, willing to do anything. She didn't want to die. So her friend said, I know of this woman. And so they went to her house, and the friend waited outside, and she wasn't in with Jean Guyon very long, but she came out, and she was a different person. And she said, well, what did she say? What happened? And all her friend said was, I have to know God. And she said, no, what happened? She says, I have to know God. I have to know him. And she said, well, that's fine, but what about the cancer? And her response was, well, yes, the cancer is healed, but I have to know God. Gets our attention in whatever way he chooses. And we find out that he is the answer. He is guiding us whether we are participating in him or not. So the guidance and the direction is almost a secondary aspect. Now, there is going to be times when he does get very specific. And we've looked at that before, and we will continue to look at that. But really, when we talk about divine guidance, we are looking at the ulterior motives that God has which is to share his eternal life with us. So we'll pick it up there next week. And we're going to be talking about guidance and the will of God for a few weeks here now. So if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to email me at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.